Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast, it's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. ArchiCAD is the official BIM software of the Entree Architect community. ArchiCAD BIM software enables design, collaboration, visualization, and project delivery no matter the project size or complexity. With flexible licensing options and a dedicated support team to guide us along the way, ArchiCAD is an ideal choice for firms and projects of any size. I encourage you to reach out and talk to the folks at Graphisoft by visiting our own dedicated webpage at graphisoft.com/us/Entree Architect. There's even an exclusive special offer waiting for our Entree Architect community. Go now to graphisoft.com/us/entrearchitect and see how Graphisoft is positioned to help make your architecture firm a success. That's graphisoft.com/us/entrearchitect. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Tyler Sumala, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, I'm super excited about this conversation. Every time you and I talk, we just start talking.
Here we are 20 minutes into our call, and exactly. we haven't recorded the podcast yet.
Exactly right. We've been having this long conversation, and we're like, hey, we should hit the record button and share this with our friends. So Tyler is a serial learner obsessed with helping architects optimize all things business development, marketing, and operations. And before transitioning into business development with our friends over at Monograph, Tyler worked in large and small architecture offices and ran his own architectural design studio for 2.5 years. He holds a BS in architecture from the University of Michigan and an MArch from Princeton. Tyler is currently creating a community of architects, the same community as ours. It's the same people. He's talking to the same people over at Tyler Tactics. He's talking about, you know, how to help architects communicate their unique value. And he has a newsletter, and he's got all kinds of things over there, tylertactics.com. So you should go check him out over there, doing a great job, super active on social media. You're probably already connected with him. But Tyler, thank you for coming by here and hanging out and talking a little bit with me. This is going to be fun.
Thanks for that intro. Yeah, I'm excited.
Before we get started in our conversation, I want to know more about you. We've been talking, but I don't know your story. I don't know your backstory, your origin story. So go back to where you discovered your passion for architecture, and who or what got you inspired, who or what inspired you to get started?
Yeah, I think my passion is kind of embedded a little bit in like a passion originally for like art and drawing as a kid, right? I think that's probably how a lot of people start. My dad is pretty artistic, right? We always did a lot of drawing and kind of caricatures and stuff growing up. I had like a drawing room with a drawing table where I would constantly be copying things over. I'd draw, you know, anything. I'd just pick up the picture and try to copy it over in some kind of line work. So it kind of originally...
What did your dad do as a professional?
My dad is actually, he's a professional car buyer. So I don't know if you know this, right? So I actually grew up in the car business in the sense that you have car dealerships and then you have car auctions. Yep. And so there's the middleman, which is what my dad is. He's the person that represents specific dealerships at the auctions and purchases cars for them so that they can take them to their lot.
Oh, cool. So you grew up in the car world too then?
I grew up in the car world, yeah.
Is your dad a car enthusiast, or is that just his job?
Not a car enthusiast. Like, I know my way around an engine. Yeah. Right. So not in that way as much as like, we just like my brother and I and my dad, like we understand vehicles and their value pretty well.
Yeah.
We just grew up in that market, going to the auctions with our dad, helping him bid for cars. So that was kind of a fun upbringing in that sense.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. So your dad's also very creative. So you were inspired by him to be creative as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we used to draw together and do those things. That kind of faded a little bit. Like I was a pretty good student in like high school. So that fades away in the sense that like I stopped focusing so much on that as a career. And it's like, oh, maybe I should do, you know, pre-med, just like every decent student should, right? So I actually started off college studying neuroscience, and I studied that for the first 3 years. I didn't take an architecture course until I was coming up on my senior year. I think it was second semester junior year, decided to pop in and take it was a freehand drawing course in the architecture school. And I was in that class for about 10 minutes before I was really questioning my entire career choices. Just completely fell in love in that 10 minutes. The professor is amazing. Melissa Harris, she's still there. She's just one of the best professors you'll ever have.
That's it, Michigan?
Yeah, she's at Michigan, and just so emotive, so in, like just so passionate about what she's teaching. And I completely fell in love with architecture in that moment, decided to stop pursuing neuroscience and applied to the architecture program and was able to get in there. So
how did your parents feel about the shift? Were they concerned?
They actually took it really well. I'll tell you who I was most afraid to tell was I had grown up from high school working with a neurologist in my hometown. And I would go back like in the summers and I'd kind of like intern with him and help walking through patients and things like that. So I was much more afraid to tell him that I was switching careers than I was to tell my parents. My parents were supportive and they were kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. Like you are a creative person that obviously is aligned with like a career choice. The neurologist took it really well too, but, but yeah, can't be afraid. It's never too late to make a switch, right? I mean, if you are really passionate about it in that moment, like chase the fulfillment over, you know, what you think society is applying you to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that we each have a path and our job is to find that path. And then just keep moving forward on that path. And sometimes you're on the path that you think you're supposed to be on until you discover the one that you're supposed to be on.
Always. It's like a 5-year rotation, right? I mean, at a certain point. Yeah.
Sometimes those paths come to forks and you have to pick one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of similar. Like if we continue that arc, it's like I do the normal things. I go to architecture school and then I go to grad school and then I go work at, an international firm. And then I decide, hey, I haven't really found a firm that I enjoy working in. Maybe I should start my own practice. You know, so I do a small studio there doing some residential and small commercial work. And then that's also a thing where I'm like, I'm not as fulfilled as I thought I was going to. What can I do now? So I didn't want to completely forego I love architecture, but it was just like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. I mean, I think most people can relate to, there's certainly a disconnect between education and practice, right? So we all know about that disconnect, but then when you're actually doing it, I think especially doing it alone, I was just a solopreneur, you know, running that small practice makes it a lot more difficult. So I was trying to find, you know, what can I do to still continue supporting my family, can still stay in architecture, but not be running my own practice or working at a firm. And so that's thankfully where I discovered Monograph, which is very focused on, you know, improving the industry, helping firms specifically with a particular focus on, you know, their business, helping them improve their business and their operations, which I tend to have a lot more passion about than the design side of things. It took me a while to figure that out. But so I've really found the perfect fit there at Monograph.
When you moved to Monograph or had that opportunity and you saw what they were looking for and did you know that was an answer, or did you just think, oh, this is my way out of my firm that's not working and this is sort of the direction I want to go? How intentional was that as the next step?
Yeah, it was what was intentional was trying to focus on a different skill that I could, like, that I thought would bring value to my life. So there's a spacer in between the firm and in between my own practice and Monograph.
Yeah.
And that was like, I actually worked at another small startup there for a few months in a business development role as well.
Separate from architecture or in architecture?
Yeah, separate from, it was data analytics. Yeah, it was data analytics. So it was, I had originally just said, I'm done with this for the moment. I hope I find something in architecture, but at this point, I'm just going to take what's given to me. Right. So I took like a sales role at a data analytics company initially for a few months. I was very closely watching Monograph. I saw them starting to grow their sales team. And then I reached out to them immediately, you know, for that position. So I was interested in the sales because I really enjoy like meeting with clients. Yeah. I enjoyed that process when I was running my own practice. And so I thought that was going to be a good avenue to pursue. I enjoy talking to people, like, let's do this. That's essentially what sales is. If you get down to the core of it, it's really just kind of communicating with people effectively. So I've done that. I've since realized I was really actually terrible at business development and sales when I was running my own practice. But that's that realization that really was like the impetus behind, hey, let's start being a little bit more vocal on LinkedIn, not only about the challenges that I've had, but like, I know I was doing this wrong. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And I've kind of learned that just from talking to friends of mine that run their own practices and things like that. It's like, no one is really alone in these challenges and in these failures, especially in, you know, business development or in just the business side of architecture.
Yeah. Sharing your knowledge is a very quick way to find a following, right? Yeah. That whether it's your knowledge or your lack of knowledge, right? Being honest and transparent about what you don't know, and then documenting the journey that you have through discovering what you don't know and learning how to proceed in the things that will help you move forward. Very much absolutely. How Entree Architect started. It was me just sort of out there sharing my knowledge, sharing everything, being very transparent in a time in architecture where nobody was being transparent. And that, that resonated with a community of architects, which grew into it today.
I think that gets to the core, I think, fear that so many of us have is that we're the only one that's experiencing these pains, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know actually how to run a business. Am I the only one? Am I the only architect that doesn't actually know how to run a business? No, you're not. No, I can tell you, right. I've spoken to 1,000 architects in the past year. No, you're not. No one feels like they have this under control. So being aware about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when you have an AIA or you know, professional organization telling you not to share your knowledge, don't talk about money, don't talk about fees. That's against the rules.
Oh,
you know,
you set up a
disaster where you have architects who are isolated and not knowing how to run a business and afraid to talk about it at any level because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. That culture has shifted tremendously in the last 10 years. In our community, it's completely gone. Architects are no longer afraid of that. But it took us 10 years to get there, right? It took us 10 years. Yeah. When I started, people were constantly reminding me I shouldn't be talking about money. And it's like, no, I can talk about money all I want.
It's okay. It's okay to think about money in a design business. It's not going to hurt you. Even, I mean, I post pretty regularly on LinkedIn about, you know, you need to be increasing your fees. You are extremely valuable as an architect. You should absolutely be charging more for what you're doing. And I almost always, there's obviously a lot of people that feel that way, but a lot of the common pushback I get from that is like, yeah, the AIA needs to be better about communicating the value of architects. And it's like, that's probably true. Yeah, AIA should be a little bit better about that. But guess what? If you're waiting for the AIA to change the public's perception of what the value of an architect is, you're going to be waiting for a very long time.
That's right.
It's much better off just improving your own internal processes and your own understanding and your own communication of value. That's going to happen a lot faster and make it much quicker.
And not only for you, but for the profession, right? If the entire profession is waiting around for the organization to fix itself, it's never going to happen. But if each individual architect fixes themselves and becomes more successful, more financially successful, more life balance successful, then the entire profession gets stronger, right? And makes the profession stronger. And so, individual architects focusing on their own success is the answer to those problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. Small architects too. Small architecture firms, like we talk about. I mean, that's 80% of the 80% of the firms in the US are under 10. So yeah, that's where
we are the profession, right? Yeah. We are the foundation and the roots of the profession. And so if we do shift that and become more successful, we do literally shift the world because of the work that we do. A lot of what you write about, a lot of what you focus on is something that I hear about all the time from our community, even to this day, the value that architects have, right? And communicating that value to their clients, to the public. The public, general public, doesn't really understand who we are or what we do. And that's a big problem. And there are ways to fix that. And a lot of it is related to exactly what we're talking about in terms of fixing it yourself, right? Sharing your own story individually. And by sharing your own story individually, it not only attracts people to you, but it also, you know, starts to redefine what architects are and what we do. By focusing on, do you write about that because you get that feedback? Because of the conversations you've had, you realized that that's a problem? Or is it something that interests you and so you're writing about it because it's something that you're interested in?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's definitely something that I've observed just from having so many conversations, you know, with architects through Monograph and now just through LinkedIn and things like that. I mean, there's this divide between the value that you know you're offering and then this concern of like, you know, the market. And the way that people are perceiving the market. Sorry, I did air quotes. I realized that this is...
we heard it in your voice.
Yeah, you heard the air quotes, right?
Experienced podcasters perception. Know when the air quotes are happening.
So, you know, there's the concern of like the market and what's the market going to choose and are my fees going to be undercut? I really think it's just about you have to... The normal response, like, you know, when you talk to architects about values, they think, okay, I just need to get better at like pitching. I need to get like, I need to have this list. These are the 30 things that I'm doing to add value to your life through hiring me. And I think that's probably the complete opposite, like see that and run in the opposite direction. Don't do that.
We just need to convince them, right? We just need to convince our clients that we're valuable. That's the typical approach.
Right. Yeah. We just need to kind of like strong arm him into it. Right. If I can just show them so much and tell them so much, eventually they're going, like, it's going to fall, right? That chip's going to fall and they're going to see it. I have since learned, especially in being in a business development role, it actually is almost nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with the client and what problems they're facing and where they want to go. And kind of positioning yourself as the vehicle to get from where they are now and where they want to be.
And that's very much your role today at Monograph, right? Is reaching out to architects and finding out what their issues are and then trying to help show them that there's a solution to some of those problems.
Yeah, that's exactly how it starts. And I mean, whether that's a cold outreach or whether it's, you know, someone that is in like interested in your firm or interested in Monograph or whatever, it starts the same way. It's like, you know, what is your current situation? Like, what's the issue that you're having right now? What are those challenges? Because you hear that a lot, like if you're talking to a small firm, right, a small residential firm, and they're like, well, like they don't have problems. Like they're coming to me because they want a new house, right? They just want to build a bigger house. And it's like, well, what's the problem with their existing house? Like no one just wakes up one morning and, I mean, some people do, but 99.9% of the population don't wake up one morning and think, you know what I want to do? I want to go spend $2 million right now to build my own custom home. It's like there has to be pain, some kind of challenge embedded in whatever their current situation is that's causing them to want to do something like that. And the reason you want to like better understand those challenges and better understand that pain is because, as we know, like working with clients is not a smooth ride. So you really need to know what that embedded challenge is so that you know that you always have something to fall back on throughout the entire process of the project, whether that's, you know, presenting them the proposal and saying, you know, you told me that these were your challenges. This is exactly how we're going to, you know, alleviate those challenges and solve this issue for you, or whether you're getting to the, you know, construction administration phase and they're starting to build the house and they're questioning everything and they're thinking about pausing their budget. And it's like, no, you know, don't forget, you know, these are the challenges that you're facing and this is what you're going to get out of it. So you need to have that, you need to build that relationship with the client and really begin to understand them at a much more personal level, how these challenges are impacting their day-to-day lives.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by RCAT.com. Can't find the product data that you're looking for? You might be using the wrong search engine. Broad searches result in consumer products, out-of-date information, and websites that hide or don't have the information that you're looking for. If you need specifications, CAD, or BIM, RCAT.com is your search engine. Find and download the...
If you're an architect, a designer, a firm leader, or an entrepreneur trying to build something that actually lasts, there's a new podcast just for you. Gable Media is proud to introduce Frosty and Fired Up.
Let's just be honest about it. I mean, the most powerful weapon on the face of the planet is between our two ears. And when architecture can evoke that emotion positively to create spaces for people to come together, that's a very powerful thing.
Hosted by Miller Caldwell, CEO and principal in charge of Caldwell Architects, this podcast was created out of a simple belief: architecture deserves better leadership, better culture, and a healthier profession.
The actions of every architect affect every other architect in some way. What I mean by that is if we are not focused
maintaining the health of the profession.
Right. If we're not focused on those things, and we're only focused on our internal needs, there's a greater ecosystem that we have to respect and we're responsible to.
Over the last decade, Miller has been on a personal journey, figuring out what it really means to lead, how discipline shapes outcomes, and why culture always matters more than strategy alone. Along the way, he realized these conversations shouldn't stay inside the walls of his firm.
You know, we all have our superpowers in what we do, and I would say one of my superpowers is probably business development. And the way I've become better at business development, I would say, is being intentional about connecting. When you're invited to do something, say yes.
Frosty and Fired Up shares honest conversations about the things architects don't always say out loud. Ownership, accountability, wellness, mindset, money, leadership, and the hard work behind meaningful design.
Unfortunately, architecture is a slow art. It takes a long time to produce. It takes many years to get good at it. His decisions are what take the longest time. It's not the drawing, usually.
You'll hear conversations with people who challenge and sharpen leadership, helping push the profession forward. This isn't about perfection. It's about getting better. One decision, one habit, one day at a time.
That ultimately is the process, right? I mean, focus on what's in front of you, what the priority is, and work your way through it. It is going to be hard because it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard because it means something.
Subscribe now at the link in the show notes. Frosty and Fired Up, now available wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story and we are here to tell it.
Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.